The Seth Green Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Seth Green team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
You can turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. If you don't have your Bible, or if you have it with you but you can't read it because, like me, the glasses just are at the wrong focal length or whatever, then we have it in great big font in the bulletin, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. And again, Father, we look to you for your guidance, to send your Holy Spirit to open up our spiritual eyes, Father, to see and to understand all that you have for us this morning. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. All right, what is this weekend? This is what? Labor Day weekend. This is kind of the communist holiday that we have when we celebrate the workers. Yeah, that's right. Kind of like May Day over there in other areas of the country. I was on my Facebook page yesterday. Yes, Pastor does have one. Don't try to contact me through it, though, because I look at it like every 2 months. So it's not like anything that you send me is ever going to be seen. But one of the folks down in Venezuela had made a posting there about how Jesus Christ was a revolutionary and viva la revolution. And so I wrote back, just be careful, you know, down in Venezuela, where it's considered a communist country anyhow. People start talking about revolutions, and that's a good way to get disappeared real quick. Amen. But this is a time when we celebrate the labor, celebrate the laborer, the work that got done, and today we want to take a look at the work that God has already accomplished in our lives. And I want you to know something before we get into this message this morning, that everything that you say and everything that you do has eternal consequences. Our lives make a difference, either for the good or for the bad. And nothing is insignificant. Everything has consequences. And especially when we look at the work that God did on the cross 2,000 years ago. That work, that saving grace of Jesus on the cross has eternal consequences. It has consequences in our lives 2,000 years later. Amen? Yeah. What a wonderful result of a work that Jesus didn't want to do. You know, as he was in the garden, he said, Lord, if it's at all possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. Which makes us understand that what we go through may not be enjoyable for us for the moment, but folks, what we go through, what we say, and what we do has eternal consequences. Amen. As my grandson, Brandon, was getting ready to leave yesterday to go and do something with his dad, I wanted to make sure that he understood that his grandfather loved him. I wanted to make sure that he understood that if he ever needed to talk and have a a non-judgmental ear that he could just pour his heart out to, that I was there for him. And, you know, I took advantage of that moment. And he said, yeah, and walked out the door. And you know, the first thing that I felt in my heart is, you know, doesn't he understand how much his grandfather loves him? And maybe he does, and maybe he doesn't. But I know that that act of charity on my part towards my grandson is going to have eternal consequences. That one day he'll think about that. He'll remember what his grandpa said. And it's going to make a difference. Well, let's get into Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 17. And Paul continues on saying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. All right, that's verse 17. And so we're asking, or Paul is praying, that God the Father is going to give us a spirit of wisdom. Isn't that interesting that wisdom is defined as a spirit? Can anybody tell me what other emotion or way that we feel is described as a spirit in the Word of God? Anybody know anything offhand? How about fear? God has not given us a spirit of fear. And so what Paul is revealing here is that we can allow ourselves to be influenced by God, or we can allow ourselves to be influenced by the God of this world and you know, the enemies of God. And we can go ahead and let ourselves be subject to a spirit of fear. And you know that out of fear, you're not going to be able to serve God. Amen. Or here, we can receive a spirit of wisdom. Now, let me ask you, who needs wisdom today? All right. Yeah, I know from what Grace has been praying for and going through, she needs wisdom. For what all of us are going through, the decisions that we have to make every day, we need wisdom. And so Paul is saying, I'm asking that God is going to give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Do you know what true wisdom is? Knowing God. Amen? That's what real wisdom is to know the mind and the heart of God. And God has revealed all there is to know about Him in His Word. Amen? And so Paul is saying, if you want to be wise, if you want to have true knowledge, then get to know God and really know about Him. Remember, Jesus said something, "My sheep, they hear my voice." His sheep know His voice. Now, how do the sheep know the shepherd's voice? Because they spend all the time with the shepherd. Now, I'm not talking about the modern day agricultural, you know, mechanism, but 2,000 years ago, you had a shepherd who would take his sheep out to find some good grass and some good water for them. And then, like David, he would sing to them, he would talk to them. I mean, that's all you had were your sheep out there, so you gave them names and you interacted with them. And because the sheep had been so close and so long with the shepherd, they knew the shepherd's voice. Amen? And in the same way, if we decide to spend time with God in His Word, we're going to know the voice of our Savior. And He's saying, I pray that that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened. You know, we talked about earlier where Jesus said, you know, having eyes, they do not see. Having ears, they do not hear. And it is possible to go through life and be surrounded by all the miracles of God, and not see a single one. But as we prayed at the beginning of this sermon, Lord, open the eyes of our heart, our spiritual eyes, so that we can see You and see what You're trying to teach us in Your Word, so that You will know what is the hope of His calling. You know, all of us would say, yes, I know I'm called by God. We studied that in the earlier passages of Ephesians and all of that. I'm called by God. I'm appointed by God. But that gives us a hope. We know what's going on. Now, I was talking to a young man yesterday, and he said, I've given up. My job hasn't worked out. My family hasn't worked out. Everything that I've tried to do has failed. I'm losing everything, and I am just along for the ride. This young person has no hope because he doesn't understand what God has for him. He sees what's going on around him in his life, and he has lost sight of the fact that God has a calling on his life. And you know, if I am in the process of trying to get new travel credentials for when we go overseas, and especially Father Abraham is all excited about it, because if I can get the credentials that make me a guest of the state, That brings along with it some benefits. And he was telling me the other day, he said, Pastor, have you got those credentials yet? And I said, no. He says, you need to get those credentials, because once you get those credentials, when you come to the airport, oh, you don't stand in line at customs and immigration. They just take you right through the line. And then the government will have a car waiting for you, and you will stay at the best hotels, and you will eat the best food. And I'm sitting here saying, who has been talking to this guy? But he has all of these, you know, ideas of what's going to happen. Oh, and then the best part is he says, and I'll be your secretary, so I get to go with you. So he wants those blessings too. All right, so I have to get on the stick and hurry up and get this, you know, these special credentials so that he can have these blessings also. But just think about that. If you had these special credentials, and all of a sudden they came up and they said, "Ah, we need to search your luggage," and you can say, "Well, no, wait a second. I have immunity from that, diplomatic immunity. You cannot search my luggage." See, if you knew what your credentials gave you, you would have hope. You would know what to do when times got bad. And see, those of us here that have been coming to church and learning from God's Word, we understand what our credentials are. We are the called in Christ. Amen? Amen? That He has called us unto all good works. He has good things planned for us. He works all things together for good to those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. Amen. Amen? Those are our credentials. And so when the enemy comes along, or when life comes along and tries to dump something on us, our first response is to say, wait a second, diplomatic immunity. I'm traveling under a different passport. Amen? Because my citizenship is in heaven. And if this young man that I talked to yesterday could just get that into his heart, wait a second, don't let the world put that garbage on you. If you know God and these things start to happen, you need to call out to God. Y'all have heard the story of how I was kind of under house arrest last time I was in India. And I just made the comment. No, I told Terry. And Terry called the commander of the Thunderbird Squadron. And the commander of the Thunderbird Squadron called our wing commander. I just mentioned this to Terry. I thought it was kind of funny, you know, that here I am under house arrest. The wing commander called the State Department, and the State Department called India, asking what in the world is going on when you have arrested one of our Air Force chaplains. And I'm saying, what? It's not that big of a deal. You know, I'll just sit here in my little room, praise God for whatever is going on. But you see, I was traveling under different credentials. And even though I didn't recognize it, there was somebody else who said, no, you don't do that to this guy. And that's how we need to be in our lives when things happen to us. Say, no, we're traveling under a different passport because our citizenship is in heaven. Amen? Okay? So, take a look at what he's saying. That our eyes are going to be enlightened, that we will know the hope of his calling, we will know the riches of his glory, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who walk in faith, who believe. That's what he wants us to walk in. Those are the three things he has, that we will know the hope of his calling. Folks, don't walk around as though you had no hope. He has called us, that gives us hope. Amen? There is hope. There is a goal that he has for us, and even though we may lose heart, God in heaven hasn't. Amen? And number two, what are the riches of his glory in of his inheritance in the saints? We're not second-class citizens. Amen? Why do we act like the world can kick us around? We are his children. Amen? And thirdly, what is the follow along with this, because this is pretty good. And what is the surpassing greatness? What kind of greatness? Greatness that is beyond what you can believe. Amen? Terry and I were going down the road. We're going 70 miles an hour, doing the speed limit, and somebody's got a brand new Charger. And you couldn't even get a license plate. They were going so fast. They surpassed us. They surpassed us. And that's the same idea that we have here, that we're going to know what is the surpassing greatness, not just the greatness, but the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. What can God do in the life of someone who surrendered to him? Anything he wants. Amen? God, we pray, God, make us a channel of blessing. God, allow me to be in that place where you can use me. How about, God, let your power flow? Not just regular old 70 mile an hour power, but we need some of that 120 mile an hour surpassing power in our lives. Amen? Our lives make a difference. Your words make a difference. Your actions make a difference eternally. Amen? And then, speaking about Labor Day, these, in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. You want to talk how powerful God is? He raised Jesus from the dead. Raised Lazarus from the dead, but he raised Jesus from the dead. And what did he do? And seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. What kind of power does God have? He has power over our greatest enemy. What is the one thing that no one on this earth can escape? Death. You can't escape death. As soon as you're born, what happens? You begin to die. Our greatest enemy, the one undefeatable foe that we have, is death. But as Christians, death hasn't any power over us because death is simply the doorman that leads us into life eternal with Jesus Christ. But God defeated even death. Amen? Amen. As Terry and I have traveled, around the world, different countries, you can go to these holy sites. And some holy man or somebody who's, done something great, you can go see their tomb. They died. They're there. People line up for blocks to walk by and pay their respects to the dust that lies in that tomb. And that's how it is with every religion, everybody who has started some religion. There's a body in that tomb, except for Christ's tomb, because God is victorious even over death. Amen? We need to realize, we need to remember, our words, our actions, because we serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we have eternal consequences. I mentioned earlier on the way over here, I was listening to the radio. I guess it was the Country Favorites or whatever. And they had Elvis Presley singing. And it started off with, Glory, Glory, Hallelujah. And he had a full orchestra behind him. And I'm singing at the top of my lungs, got the radio cranked up, singing along with Elvis Presley. And it occurred to me, this boy is dead and gone. He's dead and... But you see, his words are living on after him. And I'm not saying everything that Elvis Presley did was good or bad or indifferent. This is not a commentary on his life. But his actions do have eternal consequences. His words do have eternal consequences. And just like Elvis Presley, the same here. Each one of us, we make a difference wherever we go. Let it be a good difference. Amen? Yeah. Father God.
Comes another day, time doesn't wait, it doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows. Will you choose to stand or fall? Just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. You lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to the journey.